Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast. What could possibly be wrong with a 1,774-page spending bill that nobody read? Matt Drudge said it all in a tweet when Congress passed the $1.1 trillion spending bill a few days ago. He said, "Obama got everything. NSA dirt on Boehner must be incredible." Well, it can all be summed up this way. It doesn't matter which party prevails at the polls, governments get bigger, always bigger. And this time on the weekly podcast, I thought we should get in the spirit of the holiday season and find out what would be on Ron Paul's Christmas list. And it turns out that he says all he wants for Christmas is a real shutdown, at least where it counts. Dr. Paul?
I think that's a good idea. We would all be pleased, and those of us that understand and enjoy liberty, it would be certainly pleasing. But it would be a lot more pleasing to more people than anybody realizes, especially the people who promote big government, the poor and the middle class who think the government can always raise their standard of living. If they would only give us a chance and try liberty for a change, they would find out that jobs would be more plentiful and income would be higher, and we would be in much better shape. But that's not likely to happen, so I guess we just have to dream about the holidays. And like you say, you know, both parties are the same, and that was probably the most discouraging part about being in Washington. The only way I could survive that was to find coalitions with any Republican or any Democrat that would agree on the Federal Reserve or agree on the budget deficits or agree on bringing troops home or the many things that we think are important. But I had been asked recently, well, what would be the three things that you would close down if you had the chance to do it? And, you know, you can think up a lot of different things. And on the spur of the moment, and I followed up with a short article on this, was that I would start off with something that for people that aren't interested in the subject is rather esoteric, and that is the monetary system. But a lot more people are becoming aware of the significance of the Federal Reserve and how important it is. So lo and behold, I put it at the top of the list because, quite frankly, if you have any complaint about big government, whether it's welfare or warfare, if you didn't have a Fed, it wouldn't happen because the people would never pay enough taxes, you know, to support these programs. And the markets would never loan our government that much money. So we have to get around all that by seductively undermining the currency and taxing people with the inflation tax. So the Federal Reserve is sinister, very, very important, and an instrument for big government. And big government means that it only gets big with the attack on personal liberty. But close to this is a more direct tax, and that is the symbolic effort and the real effort of the IRS knocking on our doors and guns pointed at us to extract the last penny. And that, of course, you know, is another way to support the welfare warfare state. The founders had no intention on giving us a income tax. Lincoln, of course, tried it in the Civil War. It was very unpopular. We had to change the Constitution in a messy fashion. They did in 1913, same year they gave us the Fed. So you knew we were in for trouble 100 years ago when we got a Federal Reserve that could print money and an IRS that could extract money. And all of a sudden, things did change. Though prosperity did survive to a large degree, it's all coming to an end. If you look at the last 10 years, no class of people in this country except the very, very wealthy, the 1%, the insiders, those who receive benefits directly from the government, such as the military-industrial complex, everybody else has been losing. And it's across all sections of the economy, and race and color and creed. Everybody seems to be making less right now. But those would be the two things right up front that I would cut. But the third thing I would do would be rein in the surveillance system. You know, and this would be broader. That I would get rid of all the programs that are unconstitutional, the NSA and the CIA and Department of Homeland Security, the war on drugs, and incidentally, you know, the war on raw milk as well. This also touches on a systematic attack on the First Amendment, because to do these things, the First Amendment, as well as the Second and the Fifth, has to be gutted. So if we had a system designed where you couldn't print money and you couldn't rob the people through the IRS and you couldn't spy on the people, all of a sudden the size and scope of government would be different. We wouldn't be supporting militarism overseas. It would be impossible. We wouldn't have the money to do it. We wouldn't be passing out foreign aid. The money would be left in the hands of the people, and that's why you wouldn't see erosion of the prosperity, especially of the middle class. And that's where it starts. The poor get poorer, but the middle class finally become part of the poor class too. And we're seeing this, and people are getting pretty nervous about it. Quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons we're seeing the difficulties in the inner cities right now. It's more of an economic conflict rather than just the police or just racism. They're all involved. But overall, people, when they're unemployed and think they're entitled to a system, and people are also employed to control those out of control, all of a sudden you end up with the chaos that we've seen in the inner city. But that is a dream. We wouldn't be sneaking things into the budget. Just think of the things that they did put into the budget. I don't even want the CIA. We had the CIA and other agencies before 9/11. We were spending $40 billion a year. They had information. If they had put it together, they would have been able to suspect very strongly what was about to happen on 9/11. And that failed. So they decided, well, the problem is we didn't have enough spying. So we need to spy more on the American people. So they've admitted to at least doubling the CIA budget and the intelligence budgets. And yet we're not allowed to know. Even as a congressman, I never could figure out exactly how much we were spending. So it's well over $80 billion, and that's a black budget. So we don't know exactly what they're spending. But of course, I think we're less safe, not more safe. But there were a couple other things that they got through on a bipartisan measure, because this was leadership bipartisanship. The American people were excluded, and the average congressman was excluded. The few of them, both on left and right, voted against it, but they were in the minority, and Boehner and Obama and leadership on the Democratic side knew darn well what was going on. But they got $5 more billion to expand the war against ISIS and to expand the war, you know, in Syria and Iraq, and move more troops. Don't take as many troops out of Afghanistan. And of course, be prepared. Send in the tanks. Be prepared for a war up in Ukraine. So that went along. They got more money in there. And also, interestingly enough, I took a position when the Ebola hysterics came out that they ought to calm down a little bit. It's a serious problem, but governments aren't very good at taking care of any kind of a problem. But so there was, you know, one or two sick people, and maybe one person died. It was never an epidemic, but we still, we didn't want to waste an emergency, so they still put $5 billion in there to fight Ebola, you know, in spite of the fact that there was never never a crisis. So I think, you know, it doesn't look very good for us as a country. They skip putting the Department of Homeland Security budget in. They just extended that until February. So that's a big budget, and they're going to still pass that. And they can put anything they want on that bill when that comes around to doing it. And there's always supplemental bills, and there's always an emergency. There's always a hurricane, and there's always somebody who attacked America someplace, or they're about to attack us, so we have to expand our militarism. So we're nowhere even close to knowing what the real expenditures are going to be. The $1.1 trillion, that's just a start. And now with signs of the economy weakening, I would suspect that the finances of this country this next year are going to be much worse than anybody in Washington right now is anticipating.
Well, there's enough dissatisfaction, as you mentioned, with the spending bill on the left and on the right, that maybe it's time for one of those alliances that you so famously were able to forge against the war or the Federal Reserve. You know, a Washington Post writer headlined his column today, "America Needs a Politics to Fix What Is Broken," but maybe the dissatisfaction will persuade people that none of the solutions that we need actually spring from politics at all.
You know, there is some truth to that. I talk a lot about the politics, the bad laws, and the mess that they make. But, you know, there is some truth to that. Let's say, you know, that I'm, you know, generally right about what's going on in the inner city, you know, the entitlement problems and the people who believe they are owed a living and the police overreacting and all this. But what if the very, very high problem here, the big problem here might be the breakdown of the family? You know, we've all heard about that, you know, single parent families, no men in the household, and nobody watching their kids, a broken down school system. But, you know, if it depends on personal responsibility, can we expect the government to change that? Matter of fact, I think our problem has been is we have depended on government in our educational system, you know, to raise our kids. And I think that's what we're seeing the results are. But if it depends on people assuming responsibility for themselves and having some type of parental supervision, governments really can't do that. So there's a certain amount that we can do. And for me, it's just sort of setting the environment where people don't have to go out and sell drugs on the street corner for a job because they can't get a job. We do know that there's a lot of unnecessary bumming around and loafing on street corners. But it is true, they can't get jobs as a consequence of the pretense that the government is supposed to provide them a job, and they've been trying, you know, for 50 years. The war on poverty has gone on 50 years. They've spent $16 trillion, and the cities are worse than ever before. So I think there are some things that will not be solved by writing a law. All we can do is eliminate the bad laws and hope the people wake up to the point of acting more responsibly.
Dr. Paul, thank you for another informative conversation. And my Christmas wish this year is that your ideas about freedom and peace and prosperity will continue to spread as you have spread them so well over the years. And you'll be glad to know that you can subscribe to our weekly podcast at iTunes. We appreciate you letting your friends know about these weekly podcasts as well, and that they are free on iTunes. I'm Charles Goyette.